I cannot thank these media people enough. I'm not real computer literate when it comes to doing all the stuff. I can put the PowerPoints together, but sometimes I leave out little points, and they help fill in a lot of blanks for me. And so Brother Micah, Brother Jim, and several others, Brother Jim Lester has, and week before last, I got Brother and Sister Taylor. She was nervous about it, and he said, "Let's do it." So she got up, and they went up there, and they came through. So I really cannot appreciate them enough, because how many of you can relate better when you see some of that? I know I've always been a very visible person, and Brother Pugh was one of my stronger teachers. Dad, I keep thinking I'll bring you some of Dad's notes. He would take a little piece of receipt or a note paper about so big and write about two scriptures and one or two thoughts, and that's his notes that he preached from. He preached from his heart, his head, and it was a wonderful thing. Dad, that was just his way of doing it. Brother Pugh, on the other side, was very exclusive with his, and he drew charts back when we were just had the overhead projectors, and he would often draw them as he preached, but he could illustrate things, and I could get it so much better. So I try to do that for other people. All right, we're going to just go through several frames just to sort of click your mind into gear. We will not linger on these. But it is so important that we get this idea of what influences us and being sensitive. I have not covered this point, but I want to cover it right here, because when the Bible says, if your hand offends you, cut it off. If your eye offends you, pluck it out. If your foot offends you, cut it off. Well, he's not trying to get you to dismember your body. He is strictly trying to get you to be sensitive to when anything would hinder your spiritual relationship. That's what that's all about. If your hand offends you, cut it off. In other words, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might. He is talking about if that actually takes you into a place in your work or your activities that your hand and what you're finding to do is not profitable to the kingdom, get rid of it. Emancipate yourself. Ostracize yourself, separate you, however you want to use the vocabulary, just get away from it. And so in this setting, knowing what is really influencing you, and what I'm watching is people start dressing like people walking the streets. They start talking like people talking in the world. And the church is the leader. And so when I talk to you about it, I'm not trying to do just, I'm coming to you like Jesus. He said, I didn't come to condemn you. I come to educate you. But when we talk more about politics than we do about the Christ, we're following the world. I'm not following the world. He's my light. He's my leader. And I'm here to try to get us to talk Jesus. Our kids don't need to hear about the fears. They have no clue, but they can feel all that fear in their life. I used to hear some of the older people talk about it years ago when they were moving the missiles over to Cuba. And you remember several people left Dallas and came over to these communities over here that were smaller, because President Kennedy told them, said, got so much time, and we're fixing the fire on you. Anybody remember that? Man, I was a young kid. I was trembling. My cousin left Dallas, Texas in a heartbeat, moved in with us. I was scared, but I had no idea what it was all about. It was years later that I understood the tremendous pressure that was on our military people. So our kids need to hear us talking about positive, obedient things, things that we obeyed that worked, things that's what our neighbors need to hear. And so I would be remiss not to help us to become very sensitive to what is really influencing our excitement about getting up every day. While we are disciplined in our clothing, disciplined in our thinking, disciplined in when we go to bed, disciplined in all of our life, disciplines are highly regarded in the Bible. And so that's what this is about. And then the direction, by all means, following always truth, Jesus. And so those are critical. And so we're spending these days doing this. And this is always, and I try to do it because Jesus just comes right down. And he said, "It's here's the way it is. You're either for me or against me. There's no in between. You're not a part-time Christian. You're either going that way or not going that way." And that's what I want to motivate us, both by education and by spiritual inspiration. In the days of Christ, their desires and the willingness of religion to kill and destroy part of light, that's almost unthinkable. They had never, I mean, religious communities at that time were truly promoting all the things that God had prophesied about. But they had gotten into the place where the temple was more about their government and their personal activities, and so he called it a den of thieves. He interpreted all of the religious activity as nothing but stealing people's money to profit religion. That's what he was. He said, "You've made my house a den of thieves. You're taking from people and you're not giving them a future. You're not giving them what I've told you to give them." And so he was highly ticked off at those people for doing that kind of thing. And they were just having all kind of rules and regulations and things going on. So determining the will of God for life is a big thing. And so what's influencing and determining our destiny is our direction. And so then we discuss what we're up against, and then we discuss what assets we have that can take care of any offense. And so humans is the only creature with a soul or an eternal destiny. That puts you way above anything else going on. It puts your children in an escalated place, just breathing life through a image that looks like Jesus. And so then, of course, this is where we went last week, and so this is where we're picking back up with all of that. And these are slides that you have not seen. The master architect of our life, of course, is the Lord. And he's the one that says, look, let me just kindly say it, but let me say it distinctly. It is not in man to direct his own steps. And so when you get over to the other side of that, and he says in John, the third chapter, in the third verse, when you're born again, you can see this kingdom. And then, when you're born again, you can enter this kingdom. And marvel not that I say unto you, you got to be born again. Because you'll never become a real part of it without being born again. Now, that doesn't erase the value of what he says. You are begotten by the Word. And that's where some people get way off track, and then they start trying to give their own personal idea. Bible says no scriptures of any private interpretation, meaning I don't have the privilege to take a scripture and then just tell you, well, since you're saved by faith through grace, or grace through faith, that's all you got to do. That's stupid on my part. I would never take that kind of responsibility. But I can find you another scripture that makes that scripture work. But let me just put it right down to where it belongs. If you've got a little thing that you're putting together for your kids and you got one or two parts left over, don't expect it to function right. Just not going to happen. And when anybody builds a total plan of salvation on one scripture and it denies the privilege of another scripture working with it, how many of you know the gears in your car, they all have to work in synchronization? And all scripture is given for doctrine, reproof, rebuke. It's all given for that. And so anytime you have to you take part of it out, you're cheating people out of that part of the spiritual life or yourself. And so we're just not going to do that. Because it's not in man to come up with all the wisdom, and it's not in man to put all the wisdom together, and it's not in man to put all the truths together. And so he said, you need the Holy Ghost, because that's going to lead and guide you into all truth. Am I making sense for you? So it's service to service furnishes us with inspiration, influence, a sense of direction. And that's why some people are just so, they limp horribly because their prayer life. They never pray all these truths into their cranium. They never pray them into their action. It's just going through some format. And that's why I try to stir us up, change my voice, jump off the platform. Whatever I got to do, I'm here. Cohen, you going to heaven if I have anything to do about it, baby. And I plan to have something to do about it. You're going to heaven if I got anything to do about it. Not willing to have a church over here that don't function for your best benefit. I'm here for every one of you. But I'm here for all of those people out yonder. One of the best ways that you can help, God talked to me about it last week, I believe it was, when you understand without a doubt, he loves the worst harlot, he loves the worst fornicator as much as he loves you. Now, when you understand that, you can understand the rest of his scripture that says, inasmuch as you've done it to the least of these, you've done it unto me. Because every one of them breathing are breathing his air. Every one of them thinking are using the tremendous mind that he gave them. And he's not willing that any should perish, and any of us that have joined him should have that same sensibility. Well, see, my mind don't like that. My body don't. I like that. Everybody say, whoa, Pastor up there, you know, he's really. So this idea of what influences us and the discipline on our direction. Politics are not going to derail me. Yes, it's a mess. But I'm telling you, I've got a hand in it. And we're going to build a fire in Paris, Texas that they're going to hear about in Washington. That's right.
there's not a chance it's not going to happen. He said in the last days there is going to be an abundance of spiritual rain. I'm so excited. I want to be a part of that. I'm not going to try to live this long and miss that. Right here proves how many have faith in Jesus Christ. Because when you see people trying to do it their way, take one scripture and try to make it work for them the way they want to live life, their faith in God is not in place. When they've got it all figured out and they take one or two scriptures or four or five scriptures and they say, well, I got it down. I'm Pentecostal or I'm Baptist or I'm Presbyterian or I'm whatever. I've got that much down and I'm ready to go. What? No. There's only one place for perfect people. And we call it heaven. The holy city. That's the only place. When you get there, that's when you say, I don't need a pastor anymore. I don't need to get up every day and pray anymore. I don't ever need to get up and get hungry for Jesus anymore. I don't need to get real excited about growing in the things of God because I have finished those 10 things that they require to UPC to be a voting member.
Come on, folks. There's a world dying just about there.
They need Holy Ghost people to walk out of a Wednesday night Bible study so fired up they're trampling on devils, trampling on spirits of hell, working their way toward the glory land and the light of God shining on them, letting the world know, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. This is my son in whom I'm well pleased. He just showed you that with Jesus because he wants to show you what he plans to do with you, with God's Spirit in you. Obedience to his words or disobedience to his truth. It's just one or the other. That's where we live. James 4:17 says, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is separation. Now, you know, through the years I've tried to help you with this scripture. And it helped me a lot to redefine it just for what I call an American social system. And that is, thy word, O Lord, have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. I have transformed it to when I quote it for myself. Thy word, O Lord, have I hid in my heart that I may not violate the will of God for my life. And the reason I do that is because I want his perfect will in my life. And by acknowledging that the only amount of truth I receive to work in my life is what I hide in my heart. Except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. And so what he says, receive it into your heart. Let it ingest into your spiritual system. Receive it. And your body's got three ways of getting rid of any kind of junk stuff. Anybody ever regurgitated? That's one of them. You figure out the other two. But I promise you, anything that's not helpful to your physical anatomy, God's already fixed it to get rid of it. And I'm telling you, the same is true with spiritual situation. God has designed this that the Spirit itself begin to work in your whole mind and body and help you to identify through light any stuff that's not benefiting the cohesiveness of you being one with him, but at that same time, you being one with him. That's the way this stuff works. That's called the oneness of God. Therefore, to him that knoweth do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin, and sin is just separation from the probability of God literally growing into his fullness in your life. To know and not do is disobedience. We, knowing all of this, plus exercise ourselves unto godliness day after day, building up our most holy faith. God plants these seeds in us and they grow us up. I've already covered that. Progressive influence and inspiration is vital. It's amazing. Mothers just don't let their kids go off to school without eating. Mothers have supper ready pretty quick after they get home. And then they ask them, what did they have for lunch? And so our natural economy depends on eating. But it don't just mean eat what you want. We've got a delirium going on, cancers and all kind of junk stuff's going on in our physical bodies because that this world has fed us and we are rushing through all this stuff and so much junk. Now, that's not a sin unto death, but there are sins unto death that separate you from the headship of the Father. That's where your neck is cut off. You still got your arms. You still got your feet. But you're cut off right here. And the head can't respond quickly to what you stumped your toe. Well, what do I do? Pray. Prayer is just communication with God. God, what do I do? I got a kid that's doing this. I got a kid that's doing that. Well, I'll tell you how to handle that. And he is a educator plus. Can't just belong to a local assembly and have all that happen. You got to be connected to the head. Progressive influence and inspiration is vital. Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead. I don't care how big the group is that says you don't have to have any activity going on. Jesus said, faith without works is dead. They can line up by a million if they want to. I'm not buying it. I'm buying what the one on the cross said. I'm buying out what the one out come out of that graveyard said. And I'm working on a little message. I'll just throw you a little stuff to be studying. But, you know, it's just amazing when you get to looking at this stuff and you just let it just sort of register. And here's Jesus was led into the wilderness by the devil. And the devil tried to play games with him, but Jesus said, I don't have time to play games with you, Mr. Devil. I like to put it in everyday vernacular. He said, I'm fixing to go to the cross. And everything you're trying to get me to attend to here, I'm fixing to attend to it down the road. You just show up at the cross and you'll see everything you want to see in the ability of God in Christ working that which is unthinkably great. Because he said, I'm fixing to show the whole world that in me dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So when you call on my name, you get the whole benefit. When you get baptized in my name, you get everything that goes with it. When you get to following me, you get all the results that I can give anybody anywhere. And I displayed quite a bit of it while I was on earth. Could anybody clap their hands to him tonight? For what a display he has given to us. A man say, thou hast faith and I have works. And he says, James says it so clearly, show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. It is totally preposterous to have faith in God and not obey God. That is just like totally, if you said I have faith in your cooking and you don't eat it, if you cooked it, you're going to be offended. And when people say, I have faith in you, God, and that's not the material they're influenced by, when the critical time comes, they choose their own philosophy, they choose their own intelligence, they choose their own likes. I tell you, that's just not the way I like to do it, Jesus. I mean, that worshiping you with all the hand clapping, with all the dancing, with all that, I just don't get it. I like the reserve stuff. Church is it? Who's cooking up all that stuff? He said, I want you to understand that when you begin to dance unto me, you're not dancing for a partner down on earth. You're dancing with the one who is walking across the Milky Way today. And I have a hand looking down, reaching down, walking around, and I'm looking to lift you out of all that sordid stuff down there that you say is a miserable thing, but you seem to like it more than you like me. How does he feel when people can't wait to get out of a relationship with him so they can go have a relationship out there that's far more influential and exciting? I'd like to spend some time with God in prayer, but boy, I'm so busy with important stuff. Nobody can get you out of this world but him. Nobody can get you out of misery but him. He is peace that passes understanding. He is joy that's joy unspeakable and full of glory. And if we don't get full on that, I'm telling you, we're just going to be Pentecostal and Baptist and Presbyterian and all that stuff. I want to be full of the Holy Ghost. I want an allegiance to the Master of Life. I want to stand every morning and say, Jesus, I'm here what you want me to say. Hungry are you to be influenced in everything you do by him? Oh, Jesus. And this Bible study didn't have God. Get a hold of our heart. Help us to grab the reins of the Spirit and let you lead us and guide us. Oh, hallelujah. Thou believest that there is one God? You do well. But I say, I got some news for you. The devils do too. But the devil don't have faith in God. He just believes it. That's some material right there you can help anybody with. The devil believes. But the problem is he can't repent. He can't change location. I can get somebody to preach me under conviction. And I can find me an altar. And I can find my future. And I can find light to illuminate a path that will lead me and my kids to glory code. What he and I do, that's our communication. I love having you here to inspire me. But wilt thou know, O vain man? If you really want to get a picture of that, just picture your transmission with all the teeth seared off of it. Because that's what he talks about, a conscience that don't have any grip left. Having seared their conscience. They've heard it so long and denied it so many times, and it's just become rhetoric and religion with them, and it don't motivate them anymore. It don't carry them past the trial. It don't carry them through the dark. It's no transmitting of the energy of heaven. Transmission is just taking the energy of the motor and putting it in those wheels so you can get where you're going, sweetheart. That's what transmissions are all about. And the transmission is to faith in Jesus Christ and developing truth, which is the gears that turn our life. You ever been on a hot race car? Huh? You ever been in a truck that's got four wheels that all turn? Got mud grip tires going out through the mud? That's what you're going to do, sir, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world, because you got transmission glory. I'm telling you, if the sea gets in the way, he's got wind that'll push the sea out of the way. If things happen that you can't handle, he's got glories. And I don't want the transmission slipping on that day when I'm needing a little assistance. I want a truth that sets me free from the mudslide and into. I wish somebody'd praise him like he deserves it. From your nose to your toes. Nobody can do this kind of stuff but you, Jesus. And nobody got this kind of liberty but you. Was not Abraham our father justified by works? And here's what you want to do. You want to note all of this, so you may not ever be able to explain it quite like God explains it to you, but that's not an imperative. Your testimony is what's going to be the imperative, because if you practice this stuff, it works. And so then you get to tell your neighbor, I got a home in glory land that'll outshine the sun. And man, how do you know? Well, because I obeyed some of his other truths, and they worked. And if they work, the rest of his plan will work. If that forgiveness got me out of guilt and shame, and that consistent walking in the light helped me to sense a holy dignity that is all around me, I want to honor that dignity. I want to honor that influence. I want to honor that motivation. I'm telling you, the world's not what motivates me. It's that man that got out of that graveyard. It's that man that split the eastern sky one time and said, I'll do it again, but the next time you're going with me. I'm here to tell you, it's one of the most exciting things. It's the greatest intelligence you've ever even touched. There's not an intelligence that gets beyond the skies, but he's got a home out yonder, and he proved that when he got out of that graveyard, everything became actual. You're not the one that's in a mess. Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? Here, I tied these two together because even so, if it hath not works, dead being alone. If you only had one little truth, that would elevate you, maybe get halfway up. But the thing that feeds faith is preaching the word of the Lord. Preach to me, Pastor. Faith cometh by preaching, and preaching by the word. Halabahanda. And the first thing you know, the guy's standing up there on the bench. First thing you know, I don't know why I wind up with a $20 bill sometimes when I'm wanting to give one away. And the next thing you know, you're flapping your wings on top of demons. The next thing you know, you done received another truth, and the glory cloud is all over you. And everybody said, my Lord, I've never seen anybody like that. That man used to be lying. He used to be a cheater. He used to be a gambler. But all of a sudden, he kept growing in one truth after another. And now look at his status. It's one with God. It's in the, oh my God, I'm telling you the glory of the Christmas season is on us. See, religion puts typically a ceiling on it, and I'm a Baptist and I'm a Presbyterian. I'm going to tell you, God's going to give us such a love for the Baptists and the Catholics and the Presbyterians and backslidden Pentecostals and backslidden everybody. I'm telling you, watch, the fire is just about to break out of its place. It's not going to be contained in a little den and called a fireplace. He said this is going to spread worldwide. Somebody's going to get hold of it, and I want part of it to be the UPC of Paris. As far as I'm concerned, I'll never be anything but UPC, but in the middle of the UPC, I want him to rule. I want to be motivated by him. I want to be motivated by his word. I want to be motivated by his future. So, preaching, knowledge feeds faith. And so he says, just to us, grow in grace. Grace is teaching. Grow in grace and in knowledge. Am I doing good? Smile if I'm doing good. Sebastian, please. People are counting on you because the Bible said out of faith. As much smile as I think I'm going to work out of him. But it's more than I got out of some of y'all last week. John's writings bring the fine-tuned absolutes concerning the love of God. If you want to really hone your love relationship with God, and don't get mixed up with a bunch of the things that it talks about, because he is so fine-tuned with it, he gets down into the area where people like Brother Jim are the only ones that know how to handle it. And that's timing, and that is all about how this the 12-volt battery can run through a system that creates 24,000 to 30,000 volts by the time it hits that spark plug. That gets huge, folks. Well, if man can do that, don't you think God can't take a Wednesday night message and transform it? That's what those little things, old-fashioned days, points and condenser. Man, you know, the fun that mechanics used to have, that condenser would hold some of that electricity for a few minutes after it was taken off, and they'd throw it over to somebody and say, hey, hold that for me a minute. And they'd forget that thing was holding energy. And man, they'd grab both the side and that wire, and they'd come unglued. You just think just an apostolic preacher got a hold of them. Yes, amen. Well, all that stuff, I mean, your little 12-volt battery, it just starts it. And I want to tell you, your little dab of faith just gets it started. You just sort of get into the Word. You just make a connection with it. And all of a sudden, energy and all of that begins to put scriptures together from 30 years ago and 50 years ago. It's not that you can requote the scripture. It's the Holy Spirit in the scripture. Thy word, O Lord, is spirit and truth. It is validated by an update faith. That's huge. 2 John 1:1, the elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth. And I'm not going to take the time to explain this to you. I'm just going to give you some little foundational stuff. Whom I love in the truth, not I only, but also all they that have known the truth. For the truth's sake, which dwelleth in us and shall be with us. How long? How much of it do you? I don't want a parenthesis of it. It's all in him. And the Holy Ghost is designed to lead you through the warehouse of heaven, where lies all the wisdoms of God, where lies all the attributes of God, where lies all of that. The Bible is not a museum that you wander through and you think, oh my God, wouldn't I love to have lived then? That's horrible. I can't imagine how disappointed God feels when somebody says, man, I'd love to live in the days of the Apostle Paul. And he birthed you for this time so you could be the Apostle Paul. I can't imagine one of my kids saying, man, I wish I'd lived 400 years ago instead of with y'all. The unsaid, you know, is what means a lot. I wish I had parents like that. What? I wish I had a God like had a lot of money instead of a lot of rules. Jesus wouldn't go play games in the wilderness with the devil. He walked in there, quoted the word, walked out, and the devil couldn't touch him because we are hid with the word inside of us. And when we quote the word, the devil can't keep you in the wilderness. He may get you there for a few minutes, but I'm coming out because greater is the word inside me that's activated by faith, and the devil don't have any breaks. Can't even hardly eat for watching me preach. Grace be with you. Mercy and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ and the Son of the Father in truth and in love. I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth. Oh, hallelujah. Brian, would you just do it for a cast? She'd love to be up here, but she's holding that baby. Would you just sort of walk up here and tell me how glad you are that I'm your grandpa by marriage? I love this guy. I tell you what, it's a wonder. But I love that scripture. I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth. Somebody say walking. Does that sound like sitting in some church edifice saying I'm all saved because I accepted this a little bit? Man, I've seen all kind of men accept their wives for about a month. I've seen all kind of women accept their husband for about a year and up to here. And I've seen him accept Jesus and turn him down the next day when he asked him, let's do this. And then they'd rather do the other. I'm here to tell you, sir, you've got one chance to take that boy and let him see the walking in the light, walking in the truth, walking in love, walking in complete submission to the will of the Father. And I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. That light that shined on Jesus that day as he was baptized is going to shine on you. You're not going to see it, but he's going to see it. You're not going to feel so much of it, but he's going to feel it. And that woman back there, she's going to feel it. Boy, that's a good feeling. Thank you. We dig deeper into the love factor. Now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. Well, who's going to start it? I want somebody that really loves me, because if I'm not going to waste my love on nobody. And so we keep waiting on somebody else to love us, to show us they'll love us if we love them. It's not what he did for me. Had his hand out day after day. I can't tell you how many services he reached for me. But see, he works in the invisible. He'll never embarrass you. But you know when he's dealing with you. He's reaching for you. But he always does that invisible because he don't want everybody else to know how many times you've turned him down. I want all the conviction I can get. I want you to get a hold of me, Jesus. I want you to remind me if I miss a turn. I want you to get a hold of me if I miss a moment of gleaning in your vineyard. I want you, Jesus. And that's why the book of Ruth is so powerful. Entreat me not to leave thee, nor to return from following after thee. For whithersoever thou goest, I will go. And thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. I mean, if anybody had any room to complain, she did. She lost two boys, and she lost one of her daughter-in-laws. But one of them said, I'm going to tell you something I found out about you, that you have a God back over yonder. You may have left him and you may have backslid, but you're headed home and I'm going with you because I've heard your testimonies about that God enough to know I'm not staying in Moab when there's a God in Bethlehem, the house of bread. And this is love, that we walk after his commandments. That sounds just like TV, don't it? Oh, just fell in love. See, the world has misplaced lust and love. I just fell in love. What do you mean? I mean, I was willing to give everything to get that guy, that girl, that thing. But when I got it, that thing didn't provide what I thought it would. So I can kick it out just as quick as anything else. If something beautiful, more beautiful comes along, more attractive. That's lust. Always got to have something else. Love is where you give. And you give your allegiance. This is love. That we walk. Somebody say move. Live. After his commandments. What is my influence? What's really influencing me to get up today? What's really motivating me to get up another day? Is that love that he displayed. That giving us opportunity after opportunity. That as you have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. For many deceivers. Isn't it amazing that he's got that word deceivers coming in again right there at the edge of walking in truth, living in truth, obeying truth, and having all the presence of God right in the middle of it as a faith. I don't know how people miss that. I mean, I do, but how they can say they're honest. No, you can believe anything you want to believe. But you can't ignore what he says. This is love. That we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment. Many deceivers won't tell you that. They just tell you, if you join our group and the few things that we say, if you get those done, you can sit on our padded pews and enjoy a position. That's really going to make the world excited. But it's not necessarily going to transform the world. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, that we receive a full reward. Let's stand. I got all the way through it. Now you tell everybody, I've never seen him preach that fast in my life. Why don't we pray? Let's talk to Jesus. Father, we're not going through a Christmas season. We're not just going to walk through a Christmas season and not think more about you and more about the one who gave us the ability to give gifts and worship all of the things we've got going. We're here tonight to pay obeisance, to discipline our voice and our activities, to pay tribute to your sustaining energy. Your patience has never been rivaled. You could have been justified coming 50 years ago. You could have been justified coming 100 years ago. But you had me somewhere on the chart. You wanted to give me a chance. Wanted to give Brother Lester a chance. I love you, Brother Jim. Thank God for you. Sister Jim, I love you. Why don't you turn around and tell somebody from the depth of your heart, I live to protect you. I live to provide for you. I want your little kids to never have to worry about trusting Pastor. Hila Bahoya. This altar's open for anybody. Just wants to breeze through it. You know my thoughts about that. You don't have to come to the altar. But just sometimes it blesses a brother. It blesses a sister. Makes them a little more kin to it. Sing it. What a God. What a Savior. Lord, I praise you. We're going to learn to just praise you all day. Thanking you. Living in the light of your goodness.